This morning, we're going to start talking about pay attention. When I was a kid, my dad who would say something like this because it sounds like him. Son, you need to pay attention because it's about the only thing you can afford to do. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, when you're a teenager and you think you know everything, right? Anybody ever remember being a teenager and thinking you know everything? Yeah, come on. Sometimes I still have a residue of that. Sometimes I still think I know everything. And then God interrupts me to prove that I'm wrong. I don't know everything. But oftentimes he still says, son, pay attention. Pay attention. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read 8 verses. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Remember the Ten Commandments? Children, obey your parents, for this is good in the sight of the Lord, and you'll have a good life for doing it, right? And then Paul quotes it over in Ephesians. He says the same thing. Keeping the word of God, the instruction of God, will add days to your life. How about that? Following the word of God will add days to our life. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Verse 6 in the Amplified says, in all your ways know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight, smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Excuse me. When we keep the word of God in our hearts, written on the tablet of our heart, his word will clear a path for us. When we're putting him and acknowledging him first in everything, see, I like to say this. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to do in Jesus' name. Where does that put me? Do I just automatically, now whatever I want to do just becomes the right thing? No, what that does is that starts to order my footsteps. Because now I'm confessing that I'm walking and I'm recognizing I've acknowledged him in all my ways and he is leading me everywhere I need to go. Last week we started talking about hearing the voice of God. In hearing the voice of God, he's our shepherd, right? He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I will lead them in and they will go out and find pasture. So we're led in to the family through him. And then we go out, and he's got good pasture for you. Everywhere you go, he's got good pasture for you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, that's just a page over. Hear, children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retrain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will find place on your head. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Verse 10, hear, my son, receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Wisdom is found in the word of God. Without the word of God, there is no wisdom. See, in the New Testament, we have the gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the word of wisdom. word of wisdom pertains to God speaks to you and tells you something pertaining to somebody else's life or something pertaining to your life that you don't know about that's yet to come. A word of knowledge reveals something about somebody in their past, some incident or some happening that occurred, and you're able to give understanding because you've got knowledge about it. But the only wisdom and understanding, the only wisdom, the true wisdom and understanding that there are to be found are found in the Word of God. Without that, there is no other wisdom. There is no other understanding that is valuable or precious to the believer, to the follower of God, to those who are disciples. We must have the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. It says here that it will prolong the days of your life. It will prolong the days of your life. I know there's a doctrine out there that says every person's appointed one day to die, and that day is the day you're going to die. So on some calendar in heaven, there's a date with your name on it, circled. This is your day you're going to die. Well, this says that if you obey the Word of God, He'll extend your days. Come on, He's going to extend your days. He'll add life to you. He'll add life to us. I don't believe there's a calendar date with my name written on it in heaven. I believe that there's a calendar in heaven, and God knows what day I'm going to die, what day I'm going to leave this body. He knows that. I don't believe He wrote it, because God is from everlasting to everlasting. So He knows the beginning from the end. He does not appoint a day for you to die. What He does is He says it is appointed in Hebrews 9, it is appointed a day for you to die. Every person must die. I've said this before. There's only one way out of this world till Jesus comes. You're going to leave your body. That's it. And then the rapture. And you're going to come back. You're going to collect what's left. It's going to be made glorious. You're going to have a new tent not made with hands. Well, whose hands? Well, God created Eve and God created Adam out of the dust of the ground with His own hands, didn't He? And then He breathed life. In fact, there's multiple times in Scripture where you can read that if you'll do what He says, if you follow His commands, if we'll obey what He says and do what His Word says, that He will add life to us. In Philippians chapter 1, let's look at Philippians chapter 1. You doing okay? Busy looking for the page, Pastor. Don't interrupt me. Philippians, it's like on page 1669, if you have the same Bible as me. All right, verses 22 through 24. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Come on. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Here, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Well, whether I'm going to stay or go, I haven't decided yet. I can't choose. It's going to be good to be with the Lord. But y'all still need me here, right? You just see the movie, or you ever been with somebody as they're passing on, and you think, oh, I still need you, please don't go. Well, this is the entire church for Paul. Y'all still need me. I haven't decided whether I'm going to leave my fleshly body and go on to be with the Lord, or if I'm going to stay here, which is more needful for you that I stay here. Does Paul say that there's a choice? Do we have a choice? He says, whether I'm going to stay or go, I haven't decided yet. This is Paul, author of most of the New Testament, right? Most of us have developed most all of our theology from the writings of Paul, haven't we? It's by grace through faith that we're saved, right? Well, here he says, verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. He doesn't know yet. He hasn't decided. He hasn't made up his mind yet. I tell you what, when my mom, when she got multiple sclerosis, she was not ready. She had lumps in her breasts. She was not ready. When she got the stage 4 cancer, and I asked her, she said, I don't know. But I knew what she knew because we'd just been talking about it a while before. She said, I'm ready. She said, I'm in pain all the time. She didn't even know she had cancer. She said, she asked me, is it okay that I want to be done, that I'm tired, and I want to go home? There's a big choice. Jesus gave up his life. He said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down. He's our example. Yeah, things will happen. Kathy always says, if we're in a plane and the plane goes down, she says, I'm going to be the one person who walks out. That's what she always says. Jesus got in the boat with his disciples. He said, come on, let's go over to the other side. So when the storm strikes, I said we're going to the other side. Why are you so concerned about this storm? And then he tells it to be quiet and settle down, right? I know Brother Hagin, whenever he'd get in the plane, and I know Mama Billy Brim, when she gets in her plane, she gets in and she says, she lays hands on it and she declares that every part working and non-working, et cetera, et cetera. And she says, she gets in the plane, she says, we are going to the other side, proclaiming that nothing's going to happen, and if anything does, I'm still going to the other side. Philip was on the road and he was translated, wasn't he? Man, I'm telling you what. You could be in an airplane and it goes down and you can be translated to your destination. It's all, listen, we talked for weeks about the faith of Jesus, didn't we? Paul decides to stay because the people needed him. What if we acknowledge God in all our paths that he would direct us in the same way? Acknowledge him. Receive his sayings. To acknowledge means to receive his sayings, teachings, and commands, and they will add years to your life. That's a promise from God. His word, when we act on it, when we obey his word, it will add years to our lives, won't it? I mean, you think about the simple command, have no other God before me. Man, that just puts you on the right side right now, doesn't it? When you determine you're going to have no other God before him, right? If you don't lie, you're not going to get caught in a lie, and somebody's probably not going to kill you for lying to them. I'm just saying. Back to Proverbs 4. I'm going to read it out of the Tree of Life version on my iPad here. Proverbs 4:18 and 19 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until the full day. The day of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Boy, can you see that clear as anything today, can't you? Man, I'm telling you, the dark is getting darker. The church ought to be getting lighter. Believers ought to be walking in more light. The path of the righteous is light. The path of the unrighteous is darkness. When I walk, you know, at night out here, it gets really dark because there's no street lights. And if you're in the house and you walk out of a room that's lit and you start walking down the dark hallway, by the time you get to our bedroom at the other end of the hallway, it is dark. But I can still see some light over here. If I'll turn around and I'll walk towards the light, then my path gets brighter and brighter as I'm walking. If I'm walking in the way of darkness, it just gets darker and I have to start making up where I think I might be. Well, that's what darkness does, doesn't it? It kind of makes up the rules as it goes along. When we're walking in the light as he is in the light, that's 1 John, by the way, walk in the light as he is in the light, then we'll be in the light. We'll see his path set before us because we're walking in accordance with his ways. We're walking in the light. We're walking in the word. The word of God is light. It's a light unto my path, right? Isn't it? The word of God is a light unto my path. A light, man, I'm telling you what, if all you had was little lights on your shoes, that's all you need, because you can see everything coming up, can't you? Right? You know, the people with the blind people that have the stick, man, that stick is a light to them. It shows them what's coming up ahead of them. They're walking kind of by faith, aren't they? Come on. The word of God is light. If we walk from one room to another, and we walk from a light room to a dark room, it just keeps getting darker in front of us. But if we'll turn around and we'll walk back towards the word of God. See, that's the thing. Once we start getting out of the word of God and we start getting into our own lives, then we start to realize it's looking darker over here. What am I missing? Get back into the word. Get back into the light. Because his light is going to help us. We need to pay attention to the light. Where is the light going? For 40 years, the children of Israel wandered in the desert. They were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, weren't they? And when that began to move, what were they supposed to do? Get up and go. Campground's closing. Move on to the next campground. That's a reasonable analogy for up here, right? They start to close as the elevation gets higher and higher, and it's getting too cold and start moving down. Eventually, you'll end up at Bass Lake or someplace like that, right? You gotta follow the light. Pay attention. If God is moving, then we need to be moving with him. And I said last week, if we don't know his word, how are we supposed to hear his voice? Because his word emulates his voice. His voice emulates his word. His voice and his word are one. He's not going to contradict his written word. So if you hear a voice that contradicts his written word and you follow it, what are we following after then? Darkness. Whatever we follow, whatever we listen to, has to complement the light. It has to come from the light. If we don't know the written word, then we're not paying attention. Then we're not walking in the true light as he is in the light. Now, I could go all kinds of places there. 420. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Incline your ears to my sayings. Pay attention to my words. That's it right there. Pay attention to his word. Let it get in your heart. If we don't let the word in our heart, then we're not truly paying attention to him. We're doing something else if his word isn't in our heart, if we're not paying attention to it. Pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. In other words, get close. How are you going to hear the still small voice if you're over here being distracted by the wind? If I'm over here because the earth is shaking, the things are going on around me, the disciples are in the boat. God is in the back of the boat. God is not moved by the shaking. He's not moved by the wind. He's not moved. He is not in any of it. If we're distracted by that, if we get out and we start to walk on the water and then get distracted because we see the waves are rocking, we're going to sink. Jesus is the word of God. If we keep our eyes focused on him, not who we think he is. Oh, we had this pastor, and this was her testimony. She was raised in Foursquare, and her family were these big muckety-mucks in the Foursquare church, And she went to the Father's Blessing up there in Toronto, Canada. Remember back in the 90s, and some strange stuff came out of there. But she went up there. She and the pastor went up there, and she was there. And she said, while she was there, she saw this vision of this statue of Jesus that she'd always she was looking at the statue of Jesus, and the statue of Jesus broke apart. And he said, you have created a Jesus that isn't real. You need to get back to my word and find out about me. Many of us have created in our own hearts, in our own minds, an image of what Jesus is like, an image, a version of what we think God is like. And for the most part, most of us have just, we have just let someone else tell us. Come on, we've let someone else tell us what God is like. I could get on Facebook and I could let a bunch of people who don't know God, come on, I could get on Facebook, I can get on social media, I can go hang out at the coffee shop, and I have conversations with people who have never opened their Bible but have a very distinct image of what God is like. But the image of God that I have to be based on his word. It can't be based on my experience. Well, I was out and I fell on my bike and I broke my leg, but God, you know, he knew I just needed to slow down. So God broke your leg. No, God doesn't break your leg. That's like that old vision, that old image that so many people have of God, that he's just this guy, he's the bully on the school bus. We were watching God's Club last night. You know, you get on the bus and there's the bully who's trying to try to intimidate you and try and beat you down. And God is the bully on the school bus with a baseball bat waiting to hit you from behind just to see if you're going to fall back on him. Just to see if you're going to submit to him. God is not a bully. He's not a bully. Just stay there. If we're to be spirit-led, our heart has to be aware because he leads us through our heart. The word of God, we're supposed to incline our ear to and get it into our hearts, write it on the tablet of our heart. Once it's on the tablet of our heart, then God begins to speak to us through our heart. He's not that great big booming voice that's out there somewhere. God lives in us. And Kathy says it like this. She says, you know, when God speaks to you, it's going to sound a little bit like you. Because he's speaking to you through you. He's speaking to you in your spirit. He's speaking to you in your heart. So that when we're listening to him, it might sound a little bit like you. And most of the time, it is going to sound a little bit like you. We had this one friend. He grew up reading the King James Bible. It was all he ever read. And he was convinced that Jesus spoke perfect King James English. Because that's always how he spoke to him. Was in the King James. Therefore, any other Bible was not permissible because Jesus spoke King James English. No, he did not. He spoke Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew. The King James didn't even exist then. Come on, that should set someone free. He's going to sound a little bit like you. In your heart, there's going to be an inner witness, and he's going to speak to you in your heart. I was vacuuming, and he said, your words are stout against me. He didn't sound some big booming voice that was unfamiliar. He sounded a little bit like me with the authority of the word of God behind it. And I had the foresight not to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because I know in his word that he accused people of letting their words be stout against him. So if he's going to say it to them, he might say it to me. He might say it to you. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. God will never speak to me like that. He's got mercy and grace. Yes, he does. He wants to help you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Everywhere you're going, if we will acknowledge him in it, if we'll acknowledge his word and put his word first place in our lives, not traditions, not because mama said to, because, you know, mama can be wrong. I'm sorry, mom. As a dad, I know dads can be wrong. So if dad can be wrong, mom can be wrong too, right? Everybody can be wrong if we're not putting the Word of God first. If we put the Word of God first, then we'll always be on the right side. He leads us, His Spirit dwells in us, and He leads us by His Spirit. His words are spirit and truth. The Word of God is spiritual. It's not, I've said this before, especially when Kathy reads out loud, she'll read, some people might get offended over this, Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling. I'm like, oh, the way she can draw you in and the picture she creates and the image that she projects. I mean, authors who can do that have tapped into something emotional, something mental that we can imagine and we can envision. But it is not spiritual. I love good Christian books. I've got one right now by Halissa Allwine that I'm really looking forward to. It's about the Sabbaths. I'm really looking forward to it because through the Old Testament, she describes how that you can see Hanukkah, which isn't a given feast by God, but it is one that is celebrated. How you can see through the Old Testament, you can see Hanukkah described. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to reading that because she's one of these gals. She's super smart. She's got a PhD in her studies. And she says, you know, through Hanukkah, you can see Christmas. And I'm like, yes! So, but His Spirit dwells in us and lives inside of us. See, I can't live my life on the words of J.K. Rowling. I can't live my life on the words of Billy Graham. Come on, Billy Graham is a good man who's done a lot of good, led a lot of people to Jesus. But he's not the Savior. His words, unless his words are the Word of God, his words are not imparting eternal life. Because you could sit down with anybody. You could sit down with me, and we could have a meal together, and everything I say is not going to be Scripture. Because we're going to talk about other stuff too. The only thing that imparts life is the Word of God, and He's leading us inside. We put the Word of God inside of us, and that Word is going to lead us. He and His Word are one. If I say I'm going to call you, don't stick your head up next to the iron waiting for me to call. Don't go stand over by the dryer listening for the phone call. I mean, unless you've got your phone in there somewhere. God isn't going to use some outside method to talk to you. He's going to, because He lives in us, He's going to talk to us on the inside. We have to acknowledge Him in all our ways. In hindsight, we often like to say, God, why did you allow this or that? Instead, why wasn't I paying attention? He said, I'm going to call you. Okay. No. He's not in the wind. He's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake. He's inside. For the believer, we have to become God inside minded. He's not some light being that exists somewhere far away out there that is unattainable and unimaginable. Because He lives in us by His Spirit. The Word and the Spirit agree. If we have the Word, when the Spirit speaks to us, we're going to hear Him, we're going to understand Him, because we've already got the Word of God in us. He's going to confirm His Word to us. God isn't going to send prophets to you to tell you what to do today. In the Old Testament, the prophet was the one who had the ear of God. Who had the mouth of God. They were sent. Today, each and every one of us have the Spirit of God in us so that we can hear the Word of God to us. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I want to be a son of God. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. If I'm not led by the Spirit, by default, what does that make me? If you look just real simple at this scripture, can I be a full-grown son of God if I'm not being led by the Spirit? No. Am I a mature believer if I'm not led by the Spirit? Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Listen, there's all kinds of doctrine out there about what to call God. Right? All different kinds of names. I like to call him Abba. So just clarify that. He's my Father. Verse 13 says that if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if we live according to the Spirit, we will live. Nothing I can do is going to make me perfect that I can do in the flesh. Whatever I do, no matter how hard I'm depending on God in the flesh, it's not going to happen. The flesh can only produce death. But the Spirit of God can only produce life. If I'm being led by the Spirit, listen, verse 15, I'm not going to be in fear. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to be in fear. Fear comes from the flesh. Fear of not having enough. Fear of not being able to make it. Fear of dying. Fear of flying. Fear of driving. Fear of walking. I mean, people got all kind of fear. I don't like snakes. I'm not afraid of them. But I really don't like snakes. And I really don't want to run across a bear at night. So you won't find me walking outside at night. Because they're bears. Right? So you use a little wisdom. Right? I mean, you use a little wisdom. If it's really hot and dry and arid and there's, you know, reported snakes, don't go out there. If there's bears in the trash cans, don't go for a walk. Use wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs chapter 4. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, in all of your getting, get wisdom. It's wisdom not to do certain things. Right? If you live in an area where scorpions get in the bed before you, check the sheets before you get into bed. And your boots. Use wisdom, right? Wisdom, where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from the Word of God. If we're walking in wisdom, we're walking in light. If I'm walking in light, then I'm going to be aware of my surroundings. I'm going to be aware of what's going on around me because I'm being led by the Spirit and not by my flesh. See, your flesh could say, you need to get out and go for a run right now. You didn't do it this morning. You need to go out and do it right now. Oh, no, uh-uh. There's no streetlights out there. I'm running down the street. Bear thinks I'm dinner. No, that's not wisdom. Do you hear me? We've got to use wisdom. And in some cases, you might want to carry a gun just in case because there are bears. Distractions, especially nowadays with electronic devices, it's easy to be distracted from God. It's easy to be distracted from God because of work. Well, I have to go in and put in 8 hours today. Well, no, you don't. Did you talk to God what you're supposed to do? Right? What if it's a school day and I just really feel in my heart, those kids need to stay home today. And I disobey that. Even if nothing goes wrong, what did I just do? I just disobeyed. Maybe there was a bigger blessing for everybody in keeping them home that day. On September 11th, many people felt like they were supposed to go in late or take a detour or go a different way, stay home from work. Lots of people avoided the Twin Tower incident in New York, didn't they? Oh, there's so many testimonies of people that just said, you know, I just really felt like I was supposed to stay home that day. You go to the supermarket. Get all your groceries, go out to the car, put everything in the car, leave the shopping cart over on the side, you know, you prop it up on the little, you know, place where it doesn't belong, because it's like 20 feet to where the shopping carts belong. And you get in your car, and you start to drive away, and you realize you don't have your phone. You left it in the cart. Now you go back, somebody's got it. Were we committing our ways to God? Were we talking to him when we went out? Okay, Lord, I'm going to be at the supermarket because we need to get some stuff. I'm going to Safeway. We're going to buy some things. You go with me. You walk with me. Help me. Lead me. Make yourself available to be a witness to somebody. And then when you go and you put your cart away where it belongs, because you've walked all that distance, you're going to remember your purse is right there. Right? I use that as an actual illustration because a friend of ours did that. Kathy, we were getting ready to go on vacation a few years ago, and Kathy went up to the store to where we're from down south, they call it Vons. Up here, they call it Safeway. In Alaska, they call it Cars, Carrs. But it's the same. It looks the same on the inside. Anyway, because they've all been remodeled to look the same. Kathy goes over and she's at the store and she knows we're in kind of a hurry and she wants to go and say hi to her cousin Tina who worked at the store and she says, "No, I'm just going to hurry and go." And so instead of following that leading on the inside to go and talk to her cousin, she went out, got the car, and got into the intersection and got hit by a police car who was in pursuit. If she'd gone in, spent just a couple minutes talking to her cousin Tina like she was being led on the inside to do, she could have avoided that whole situation. Come on, it's just little things like that. Like I said, a lot of times the voice of the Spirit on the inside of you is just going to sound like you. It's just going to sound like your conscience. But if you're committing your ways to him, then whatever you do is going to be committed to him. And then you can trust the inner voice. Because the inner voice is prompted by God. Because we're putting him first. Amen? All right, well, that's a good place to stop for right now, I think. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for your word that is engrafted into us and able to change us, able to cause us to walk uprightly before you, to walk in the light as you are in the light. Father, I just thank you right now for every person that calls the Ridge Church their home. I ask, Father, that you would begin to minister to every single person, whether they're here with us today or absent, that they would begin to hear your voice more and more, especially in this day, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.